Today, volatility and uncertainty, the watchwords for markets in 2026. Hello again, it's Martin Hill from Digital Finance Analysis. Well, that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across the Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. As I've already summarized last year's market trends in my show titled Markets Bet on Hope Rather Than Expectations, we're going to dive directly into Friday's trade, where US equities ended the first session of 2026 slightly higher, with the S&P 500 up 0.2% as energy, industrials and materials paced 8 of the S&P 500's 11 industry sectors higher. Note that while the S&P 500 is near record highs, it is also around the same level that it was in late October, so it's definitely looking for direction. The Nasdaq drifted slightly lower, while gains in Boeing, Caterpillar and Goldman Sachs helped the Dow gain the most to start 2026 up 0.66%, and the volatility index was last just above its lows for the year. Tesla fell, though it paired an initial deep drop after confirming a second consecutive annual sales decline and ceding its crown as the world's electric vehicle leader to China's BYD. Microsoft also fell. This could be the year that we see a rotation from the expensive AI play into other areas of the market, but I note that equities are likely to be held back in part by further decline in US Treasuries, with the yield on the 10-year note rising another 2 basis points to 4.196%. That's nearing its highest since September, and the 2-year also rose to 3.477%. Which begs the question, can the S&P 500 extend its 16.4% rally from 2025 into this year? Well, Bank of America strategists say the firm's measure of equity sentiment was unchanged in December after it had risen the previous 2 months, though it is closer to a contrarian sell signal than a buy signal. Although the sell side indicator is more bullish than bearish, its current level of 56 is still below levels reached in prior market peaks, typically more than 59%, and implies a healthy S&P 500 price return of 12% over the next 12 months. One of five inputs and currently the most bullish input into our S&P 500 target, they wrote. Yet, Bank of America's 2026 target for the S&P 500 is 7,100, putting it near the low end of forecasts. And why? Well, growing capital intensity of big tech spenders that makes up an outsized share of the index, elevated multiples, plus cracks in the labor market with further downsides linked to AI upside, argues for a more cautious stance, they say. There's no way to sugarcoat it. The S&P 500 is expensive. But within that, healthcare and real estate are inexpensive relative to historical market multiples. And more importantly, the sectors are cheap for good reasons, positive trends in revisions compared to the broader market, plus a 3-month run of outperformance. Those factors in concert indicate good value, they say. On the other hand, the trillion-dollar question becomes, if this tech revolution is like others, what new jobs will be created by AI? And they say, we find this question difficult to answer for now. In contrast, Yardinia Research said, while the market is priced for perfection, which increases the odds of disappointing returns, it still expects another 10% gain this year because of its optimistic view of the US economy. We expect the economy to remain resilient through to the end of the decade, with the forward price-to-earnings ratio remaining elevated at its current level as earnings growth lifts the S&P 500 to 10,000 ahead as the real action starts next week. Aside from economic data, investors await a US Supreme Court decision on President Donald Trump's tariffs, along with his choice of a new Federal Reserve chair, and US corporate earnings season is just around the corner. The employment data due on January the 9th could provide a jolt either way. Concern over weakness in the labour market prompted the Fed to lower interest rates at each of its last three meetings of 2025 as the US central bank juggles its goals of full employment and containing inflation. Lower rates have supported equities, but the extent of further cuts in 2026 is very unclear. Fed officials were divided over the path of monetary policy. At the most recent meeting in December, inflation remains above the Fed's 2% annual target, with the benchmark rate at 3.5 to 3.75%. And Fed funds futures suggest little chance of a cut at the next meeting in late January, but nearly a 50% chance of a quarter point reduction in March. Other data next week includes manufacturing and services sector activity, along with job openings and other labour market data. Economic releases are returning to a more normal schedule following the 43-day government shutdown that delayed or cancelled many key reports. A closely watched report on inflation trends, the monthly US Consumer Price Index, is due out on January the 13th. And investors will be gearing up for fourth quarter earnings seasons at that time, with results from JP Morgan on January the 13th, along with other major bank reports as well. Precious metals, though, were the thing in 2025. And while financial headlines often fixated on the steady march of gold or the daily volatility of the tech sector, another asset quietly exploded in value. Silver, often dismissed as the volatile, cheaper cousin of gold, has officially stolen the spotlight in 2025. In late December, the metal did the unthinkable, shattering the historic $80 per ounce ceiling to hit an intraday high of around $84 before a sharp holiday pullback to $72. The numbers tell a story of massive outperformance. Silver's posted gains of roughly 160% last year, leaving gold's respectable 60 to 70% rise in the dust and crushing the broader returns of the S&P 500. For years, the gold-to-silver ratio, which measures how many ounces of silver it takes to buy 1 ounce of gold, has hovered near 100, signaling that silver was cheap. Today, that ratio has collapsed to somewhere around 58. This is not a fixed ratio and changes regularly depending on the current spot price of the metals. This compression suggests that the poor man's gold is finally being repriced. Though for investors watching the charts at the end of December 2025, the action looked terrifying. Silver prices dropped nearly 10% in a single session, a move quickly dubbed the Christmas crash. But perhaps this was more a liquidity flush, a common occurrence during holiday seasons when trading volumes are thin and price swings are exaggerated, and of course margin calls come into play. Certainly the global market is being supported by a massive arbitrage opportunity. In China, physical silver is trading at a premium of more than $8 per ounce over Western spot prices. This Shanghai premium acts as a floor to the market. It creates an arbitrage loop. Traders buy silver in the West, London or New York, and ship it to the East, Shanghai, to capture the profits. This dynamic drains inventories in Western vaults, tightens the supply available for funds like SLV, and pushing spot prices higher. When the price of silver rises, mining stocks also often rise even faster. This is due to a financial concept called operating leverage. Since the cost to dig metal out of the ground, like fuel, labor, and equipment, is relatively fixed, every dollar increase in the price of silver flows almost entirely to the miner's bottom line. Two companies currently capitalizing this dynamic are Coeur Mining and Fresnillo. The year 2025 marks the fifth consecutive year that the world has consumed more silver than miners have produced, with the annual deficit around 117 million ounces. This shortage is being driven by a massive technological shift in the solar industry. Solar manufacturers are aggressively switching to TOPCon, or tunnel oxide passivated contact, solar cells. While these new cells are more efficient at generating power, they require significantly more silver paste to manufacture than previous models. This increased industrial burn rate creates a floor under the price, as the solar sector must buy silver regardless of the cost to keep assembly lines running. Macro policy is providing the final tailwind. On December the 10th, the Federal Reserve cut interest rates by 25 basis points. Although the decision had its dissenters, the move signaled that the central bank is committed to an easing cycle. Low interest rates generate a weaker US dollar. Since commodities like silver are priced in dollars, a weaker currency makes the metal cheaper for international buyers, further fueling global demand. So then, the question is the recent volatility in the silver market noise, while the deficit is the signal? Well, we'll see. Many believe as long as the industrial supply crunch meets monetary easing, silver's historic run is far from over. Gold slipped 4.5% across the week, but is still up 133% over the past 3 years, and aluminium climbed above $3,000 a ton for the first time in more than 3 years on a tightening supply outlook and long-term demand bets, joining other base metals notching recent milestones. Copper, for example, also resumed gains after capping the biggest annual gain since 2009 on tight supply, while nickel jumped after PT Vale, Indonesia, halted mining following a delayed approval to a work plan from authorities. In currencies, the US dollar began 2026 stronger on Friday, snapping last year's slump against most currencies as investors look ahead to a critical week of economic data that could steer Federal Reserve policy and global markets. The rebound follows the sharpest annual decline since 2017 to more than 9%, driven by narrowing interest rate gaps with other economies and persistent worries over US fiscal health. A global trade war and Fed independence risks, of course, remain in play. Markets in Japan and China were closed on Friday, leading to thin trading volumes. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, rose 0.24% to 98.43, with the euro down 0.25% to 1.1720. Sterling weakened 0.18% to 1.3460, following a 7.7% increase over 2025, also its biggest yearly jump since 2017. The Japanese yen weakened 0.16% against the greenback to 156.84 per dollar, after rising less than 1% against the greenback in 2025, it remained close to a 10-month low of 157.89 touched in November that drew policymaker attention and raised expectations for a possible intervention by the Bank of Japan. The Bank of Japan hiked interest rates twice last year, but that did little to support the yen performance as investors appeared to be looking for a more aggressive pace. Markets, though, are not pricing in more than a 50% chance of another Bank of Japan rate hike until July. At the start of Friday's session, European shares climbed to record highs, opening 2026 on a positive note as investors assessed Eurozone manufacturing data and UK housing figures. However, while European indices closed the day higher, they pulled back from those highs. The Stoxx 600 rose 0.6%, while Britain's FTSE closed up 0.2%, easing to 9,954 after briefly topping the 10,000 mark. Germany's DAX advanced 0.1% and France's CAC 40 gained 0.6%. However, it's clear the Eurozone manufacturing sector faced challenges at the end of 2025, with production levels decreasing for the first time since February. According to HCOB PMI data released on Friday, the Eurozone manufacturing PMI fell to 48.8 in December, from 49.6 in November, hitting a 9-month low and signalling worsening factory conditions. In the UK, house prices unexpectedly dropped 0.4% in December, resulting in just a 0.6% annual growth for 2025. That's the weakest yearly increase since April 2024. Nationwide Building Society reported, economists had expected a 0.1% monthly rise and a 1.2% year-over-year growth. This marked a significant slowdown from November, when prices rose 0.3% month on month and were 1.8% higher for a year earlier. UK manufacturing expanded for a second month in December, with the PMI at a 50-month high of 50.6, driven by higher output, new domestic orders, and inventory building, mainly around large firms. However, exports and employment continued to fall, costs rose, and business confidence weakened, casting doubts on the durability of the recovery. Euro area money supply growth picked up in November, with M3 rising 3% and M1 remaining the main driver, while short-term deposits fell slightly. Bank lending to households and non-financial corporations also increased, with annual growth rates of 2.9% and 3.1% supporting broader credit expansion. In retail news, Little GB reports a 10% year-on-year increase in Christmas sales, with turnover exceeding £1.1 billion for the 4 weeks to December the 24th. The British arm of the German supermarket group, which ranks as Britain's sixth biggest grocer, said nearly 51 million customers visited its stores during the period, representing an 8% increase compared to the previous year. ASML shares rose 3% after Aletheia Capital upgraded the stock to buy and doubled its price target to $1,500, citing strong demand for EUV lithography tools. The brokerage expects TSMC to drive significant EUV installations, with ASML's revenue and earnings projected to accelerate sharply through 2027, well above consensus estimates. With major markets including Japan, South Korea, and several Southeast Asian exchanges shut for the New Year holiday, trading activity was thin across the region. But China will release services data on Monday, with December consumer and producer price reports coming on Friday. The Australian share market shrugged off early losses to end the first day of trading in 2026 just a little higher, snapping a four-day session losing streak into the new year. The ASX 200 ended the session 0.2% higher at 8,727.80, despite tracking lower for much of the morning. In a tepid day's trading, energy was the only sector to move more than 0.5% in the other direction, gaining actually 0.7%. The sector bumped higher as oil prices steadied. Brent crude rose 0.3% to $60.80 a barrel after declining 1.7% in the previous session. WTI was at $57.33. Uranium miners also helped to buoy the energy sector. Boss Energy, Paladin Energy, and Deep Yellow all gained more than 5%, but controversial defense firm Drone Shield was the best performer on the ASX 200, rebounding from a three-day losing streak to rise 8.1% to $3.33. The market's focus early next week is likely to shift towards domestic economic data before Wednesday's monthly inflation figures for November. They'll be watched for signs that the consumer price index is cooling after a spike late last year that drove up the probability of interest rate hike from the Reserve Bank. At the moment, inflation remains a persistent headache for policymakers. Headline inflation jumped to an annual rate of 3.8% in October, while core inflation, the Reserve Bank's preferred measure, hit 3.3%. Both figures remain stubbornly above the Reserve Bank's target of 2% to 3%. The data has caused financial markets to swing wildly from betting on rate cuts to positioning for a hike, possibly as early as February. Traders are currently pricing in a 1 in 3 chance of a rate increase at the Reserve Bank's next meeting on February the 3rd, with a hike fully priced in by June. Divisions, though, are emerging among the nation's biggest lenders. National Australia Bank and Commonwealth Bank expect the cash rate to rise to 3.85% in February, while Westpac and ANZ believe rates will stay on hold at 3.6% for the rest of the year. NAB economists remain wary. While they predict headline inflation slowed slightly to 3.6% in November, they expect core inflation to have been sticky at 3.3%. Our November forecast is consistent with a too-hot-for-comfort outcome for the fourth quarter, the economist at NAB said. The crucial full inflation report for the December quarter is due out on January 28, and analysts warn that a further increase in core inflation would pile pressure on the RBA for a swift rate hike. The report will likely be strong, and that will be bad for stocks. Despite the prospect of higher borrowing costs in 2026, the fund manager remains upbeat about Australia's big four banks. While profits may dip, the lenders are cushioned by low levels of bad debt and healthy profit margins. The sector already has momentum. Shares in the heavyweight banks climbed through the last year, with ANZ leading the pack with a 27% jump. The key focus in Australia is the November CPI on Wednesday, and NAB says it expects headline inflation at 3.6% year over year and trim mean at 3.3% year over year. Also on Wednesday, November building approvals are set to be released, and November's trade data is scheduled for Thursday. Like oil, precious metals recovered some of their losses from the end of last year, with spot gold rising 0.5% and silver jumping 1.4%. Both fell in the final session of 2025. Still, the mining sector was pulled lower by Northern Star Resources, which fell 8.6% to $24.43 after the gold miner revised down its annual production guidance following several unplanned maintenance and operational challenges at its Kalgoorlie mine. In other company news, Capstone Copper was 4.3% lower to $14.51 after negotiations broke down with a workers' union at its mine in Chile. As a result, around half of the mine's staff are expected to go on strike immediately. Capstone expects production to fall to around 30% of normal production. Nickel mines rose 7.8% to 90 cents after announcing South Korean alloy supplier Sphere will acquire a 10% stake in its Excelsior Nickel Cobalt High Pressure Acid Leach plant in Indonesia. Sphere has long-term contracts to supply high-quality nickel to Elon Musk's SpaceX. Biotech group Mesoblast said chairwoman Jane Bell will step down to be replaced by existing board member Philip Fatia. Bell first stepped into the role in April 2022. Shares in Mesoblast were 1.8% higher to $2.77. And Judo Capital rose 4.4% to $1.80 after Chief Executive Chris Bayliss reaffirmed the bank's profit guidance of around $185 million for the 2026 financial year. In cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin was last at $89,709 US in directionless trade, something which I would expect from the broader markets ahead. That said, the breaking news of possible US attacks on military sites in Venezuela could shake things up. With oil prices and gold rising, equity markets falling, and interest rates potentially stronger, just in time to awake from the New Year holiday slumber. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.